Daf is Daf Ayin Beis. So we got to the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah says Ben Tzara Mora Nidon Al Shem Sofo. Hey, Ben Tzara Mora, he gets judged based on what's going to be in the end. Even though right now he didn't do anything that's bad, not that bad, not worthy of Misa, but based on what's going to be in the future. So Yom Zakav Al Yom Chayiv. So better that he die innocent as opposed to dying when he's chayiv, because the Gemara understood, the Chazal, the Hakadosh Baruch Hu understood that he's inevitably going to do something that's chayiv, so let's kill him while he's still innocent. The death of Risham is good for them. It's good for them in that it just stops their averos, and it's good for the world for having the Risham that they shouldn't be around. And the tzaddikim, if misa for tzaddikim is ra lahen, ra la olam, it's bad for them because they can't do mitzvahs anymore, and it's bad for themselves, for the world, because they're not around to help out the world anymore. Yain vishena, wine and sleeping is the rishon. Hana lahen, it's good for them. This way, there's no more averos. They're sleeping, they're drinking, they're out of they can't function. But and hana la olam, it's also good for the world when they're just can't function. But la tzaddikim ra la and ra la olam. But when the tzaddikim are busy drinking and they're busy sleeping, so then it's not good for anyone. Pita l'sham, if the sham are dispersed throughout the world, it's hana lahen, it's good for them. This way they can really advise each other. And hana l'olam, it's better for the world if the sham are dispersed as opposed to together creating a whole big mafia. But for tzaddikim, when tzaddikim are dispersed throughout the world, it's ra lahen, ra l'olam. If they can't converse with each other, they can't advise each other. So it's bad for them. It's also bad for the world when the tzaddikim are dispersed. And kanis l'sham, if the sham are gathered together in a group, so it's ra lahen, it's bad for them because that means they're able to advise each other badly. And it's ra l'olam, which means then it's going to be bad for the world as well. Ula tzaddikim, when the tzaddikim are together as a chabura, hana lahem, it's good for them, and it's hana li'olam, it's beneficial for the world as well. Sheket, quiet silence, is l'risham ra'la, and it's bad for them, and it's ra'la li'olam, it's bad for the world. Sheket, when the world at peace, that means they're able to move and conduct their bad behaviors, and it's bad for them, it's bad for the world. But tzaddikim, when it's silence, it's hana lahem, hana li'olam. They are not going to be distracted, and they could gather together, and they could learn together, and bring tzidkus to the world. Fine. So the Gemara now says on the top of Ayin Beis, Tanya Rabbi Yosi Agluli Omer v'chim ipnei she'achol zeh tartimer basar v'shasa chatzi lug yain hait laki amr Torah yatsa v'beistin l'sakel. Simply because they stole and ate some meat and drank some wine, they're going to go out to be killed. Doesn't make any sense. Ella higia Torah l'sof daito she'ben Torah mora. The Torah, Akash Baruch Hu, understood what was going to be the end of such a person. They saw the trajectory this person was going on. And she'sof megamer nichsei aviv, he's going to wipe out all the property of his father. U'mevakish limudo, and he's going to, because v'ena motzi, he's going to be, he has a habit, he's addicted to drinking and eating meat, and he's not going to find it. So yotzi the parshas drachim, he's going to go out to the highways, u'melastim et habrios, and he's going to steal from the people. So they said, amr Torah yomus zakai val yomus chayiv. Better that they die innocent than die guilty. Shemisasan shel Risham rahna lahem hana leolam. The tzaddikim it's ralehan rale olam. Shein v'yayin l'Risham hana lahem hana leolam. The tzaddikim ralehem rale olam. This is the same thing as the Mishnah. Sheket l'Risham ralehem rale olam, and the tzaddikim hana lahem hana leolam. And pizar Rishayim l'Risham hana lahem hana leolam. Ule tzaddikim ralehem rale olam. So Yerushalmi says, in the end of the day, this is what's going to happen when he goes to steal from the people. He's going to end up killing people. It's going to lead to ritzicha. So the Mefarshim asks, Yadarma asks, if it's really true that the Ben Tzora Mora is going to lead to be a murderer, so he shouldn't be getting skila, he should be getting saif, like that of a murderer. So Yadarma says, no, he goes against Yerushalmi and says, in the end, he's going to mechal Shabbos. He's going to be so addicted to stealing and eating the meat and drink, he's going to mechal Shabbos, and that's worthy of skila. That's the chiddush of the Yadarma.
It never happened, though,
no? No, we had two opinions yesterday, what happened, yeah. The Rush says, no, in the end of the day, since the Pasuk says that Einei Shomei B'Kol Aviv Imo, since he doesn't listen to his parents, it's Ke'ilu, he's cursing his parents. Mekal Aviv Imo, and Mekal Aviv Imo is Chai B'Skila. So not listening to the parents is like cursing a parent, which itself is a huge Chiddush.
I call my kids.
Better that they're Shobutashi Shogian, though. The Maharal says, no, actually, Ritzicha is also worthy of Skila. When you kill one person, it's really Chayiv Saif. If you kill multiple people, then you're actually Chayiv Skila. How can we never find that? Because when in Bezdin, they judge one person, they judge a person just based on one event. They don't never judge a person based on five murders. There's always one murder at a time, but that's why we only judge them at Saif. But in theory, for multiple murders, one's Chayiv Skila. There are a whole other list of answers as well, but I think that's sufficient for now. The Mishnah now says, that habal b'machtar is a very famous mission. All the yeshivas learn this. Habal b'machtar is a person who tunnels underneath a person's house. So nidan al shem sofa, he's another example that he's going to get killed, that the Baal Bayis could stand up for himself and kill him, and because in the end, the Gemara will explain, since the Baal Machteris is going to kill the Baal Bayis, so Baal Bayis is allowed to have self-defense and kill him first. Haya Baal Machteris, the Ganav is tunneling through the house, v'shaver es achavis, he breaks a chavis along the way, im yesh lo damim chayv, if he has damim, which means he's alive. If there's a situation where you're not allowed to kill him, so for example, the father, my father, let's say, tunnels underneath my house. I know my father is not coming to kill me, so he has damim, he has a life to him, I'm not allowed to kill him, so if he breaks something, he's responsible to pay for what he broke. But im ein lo damim, if anyone other than my father comes, so they're not going to, so kimle, so he's going to have mercy on me, he wants to, if I stand up to protect my couch, he's going to kill me. So therefore, I'm allowed to kill him first. So because of kimle, he has a death penalty on his head. Anything he breaks, he's pater because kimle b'di rabbi b'nei, since he's a chiyam misa on his head, he's pater from all the tashlumim. So the Mishnah says, im ein lo damim, if he has no blood, if he has no life, meaning I could kill him, so then he's pater for breaking anything along the way. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rava, my time of the machteris, what's the reason why the Baal HaBayis is allowed to kill the Baal Machteris, the guy tunneling into my house? Because chazaka, then ain't all the ma'amid atma amamona. Everyone knows a Baal HaBayis is not going to just let his precious possessions be taken, so I'm going to stand up and defend myself and my possessions. V'hai me'mer Amar, so the Baal Machteris comes in thinking the following, I azlina ka'i la'afpei, philosophically, if the guy tries standing up and protecting all his furniture, so then so I'm going to kill him if he stands up, if he tries to stand up against his property. So we tell the Baal Bais, since the Baal Machteris is coming to say, I'm going to take your property, and if you don't let me, I'm going to kill you. So now we flip it to the Baal Bais and say, you have to protect yourself. So therefore the Torah says, you're allowed to kill him before he kills you. In Baal Hargacha, if he's coming after you to kill you, so Hashkeim Lahargo, you should preempt it and kill him first. So that's the chazaka that gives the heter to kill the Baal Machteris. Now there is a big discussion in the Achronim, which we're not going to go through, whether the Baal Machteris is a type of rodef, the guy's chasing after you, or if there's a whole other din, it's not rodef at all, it's a whole other din, the Brisker Rav, Reb Chaim talk about this. Fine. So Amar Rav says, Habab Machteres, one who tunnels underneath the house, Vunatal Kalim, it takes some of my property with him on the way out, V'yatza, and he leaves Pater, he doesn't have to pay back the furniture he stole from me. That's a very strange thing. He's a ganav. My taima, bidamim kinaneya. With the damim, the fact that he had the ability to be killed, he had a death penalty while he was in my house, so that exempts him for, because of kimle, he has no chiv tashlumim of paying back what he stole. But kimle bidi rabbi mine. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rava, mistavra milsa derav bishishiver bidilasnayu. What's very sensible to say is that Rav only holds this way, that he's pater from paying if he broke the object and there's nothing left to return. He just owes tashlumim. Aval nato lo, if he took the actual object and still has my couch in his possession, of course he has to return it. That's exactly the way it was. Why is he pater from paying? So that's the chiddush of Rava's understanding of Rav. The Gemara says, v'halokim, what do you mean? Amar Rav afilu nato, even if he takes it. So if a guy tunnels underneath my house, takes my couch with him, and he still has the couch intact, he doesn't have to return it because of kimle b'dirabi minei, even if it's still b'en. So the Gemara says, what's his raya? Deha yesh lo damim v'nen suchayiv alma b'shusei kaimi. So in the situation where there's damim, if a father is tunneling underneath, so you don't kill a father because the father's not coming to kill you. So if he has damim, so if it's nenas, so then he's chayiv. So we have to understand when the Baal Machteris takes an object that's still be'en, that hasn't been broken, it's still intact. So now, if he's a regular shomer, so we know shomer is pater if it's nenas. If I'm watching something and a tornado comes and takes an object away, I'm not chayv on that. That's an ones. I'm pater from that case of ones. So there's a din here that when the father takes something, he doesn't acquire it because it wasn't kimle. He never had the death penalty. So he took it. So if he really was just a shomer, it's a pikadon. So if it was nenas, if the tornado came, took it from my possession, he should be pater from paying. The fact that I still need to pay here shows that no, that it's not shomer pikadon. I actually own the object. And once I own your couch, I have a chiyuv tashlumim, regardless of whether or not this is still intact, the couch or not. I have a chiyuv tashlumim, and even if the couch gets taken by a tornado, I've got a chiyuv to pay, even if it's nenas. So it's a real ownership that he buys. So that's in the case of yesh lo damim, where mamisha owns the couch and always has to pay back no matter what. So alma, so on the flip side, the Gemara says, hachanami bishusei kaimi. So here as well, when the guy has ein lo damim, when he has no blood, meaning you're allowed to kill him, so he acquires the object entirely. And the only thing he owes is money. But he doesn't have to pay money because ein lo damim, because of kimle bidirabi minei, that exempts him from having to pay the tashlumim. We completely ignore the fact that the object, the couch, is still intact. So that's what the Gemara says. So right now we're holding that he always owns the object. He never has to return anything, even if it's still be'en. Then the Gemara says, v'lohi, this is not true. Because in the case of yesh lo damim, where he has blood, where the father comes and you can't kill the father, when the Torah says that the Bav Machtar owns the property, that the father owns the object, it's only with respect that he has to pay back his son, even in a case of onus. But the Torah didn't go so far to say, but we didn't say that he's kone entirely, and then he owns it. It's no different than a shoel. Meaning what? If I borrow something from you, I don't own the object. All it means is I'm chayav to pay back everything, even in a case of onus. If I don't own the object, it's still your object. So it doesn't make any sense that if a person tunnels underneath your house and takes a couch, that I own the object. What gives me the rights to own it? All it means is that the Torah says I'm responsible to pay for everything that happens to it. Even in a case of onus, I'm chayav to pay back something if something happened to it. It just makes me fully responsible. But to say that I own the object, that doesn't make any sense at all. And therefore, if the object is still intact, so you have to return the object intact. If it's not intact anymore, then you're chayav to pay if you're yesh lo damim. Again, let's say it again. If the Bav Machtar is still available, it's still intact, so then you have to return it. If it's not intact, so then you're pater, because kimlei bedrabim minei. But if it's a father with yesh lo damim, so then he always has to pay back. If the object is intact, he returns it as is, and if it's not intact, if it's shavar, he has to pay back tashlumim, even in a case of nenser. Okay, is that, clear, we're good? Fine. Gemara quotes a Mishnah now, our Mishnah. Tanan, the Mishnah says, Bav Machteres, Vishiber Sachavis, a guy comes to the house and breaks an object along the way, Yesh lo damim, if there's blood for the Bav Machteres, meaning you don't have the right to kill him, the father comes in, Sachayev, so that the father has to return the object since he broke it. Ein lo damim, if he has no blood, meaning you are allowed to kill the Bav Machteres, so then he's put there because of Kimlei, but the Rabbi Minei. So the Gemara is Medayik now. Time of the Shiver, only if the case where the Chavis broke. Dechi ein lo damim, when he has no blood, he's pater from paying. But hanatal, if the guy took the object and it's still as is, so even though he has no damim, even though there's kimei with the rabbi minei, you still have to return the object as is. Only by a shiver zechavis are you pater. But natal, then the bav machtar is still chayiv to pay. Mar says lo, that's not the correct diuk to make. Hu adin da filu natal nami. The same halach applies even if he took the object and it's still and it didn't break. He still gets to keep it. So why did the Mishnah teach a case of when it broke the object? It should have taught a case of even when the object is still intact, the Bav Machtar is still parted from paying. So Gemara says, "Kamashman to teach us the chiyeshal damim." In a situation where there is damim, where the father comes in and you can't kill him, afagav the shiver namichayev. So you would think maybe he should be parted, but even though since he breaks it. K'mashman, if he breaks it, he still has to pay. Mar says, of course, pshit, of course he has to pay. He's a mazik. The father's a mazik. The halacha is adam mu'al liolam. So whenever a person causes any damage, he has to pay. So of course the father, since you can't kill the father when he comes in your house, so if he damages your property, of course he owes you money. What's the chiddush here? K'mashmalan, da'afilu l'shelo b'chavana. No, tell me that he comes in the house and he accidentally knocks over my jug and he cracks it, so even by accident he's chayv to pay. Mara says, what's the chiddush there? My kamash malam. We have a concept. Adam muar liolam. He has to pay no matter what. That tanina, Adam muar liolam, bain b'shogig, bain b'meiz, bain b'onis, bain b'ratzon. The klal is, an Adam is always chayv to pay, whether he did it on purpose, accidentally, whether he did it b'onis. There's a machlokas in Baba Kama, Tosas and Ramban, if there's an onus gamor, like a really extreme, crazy onus case. So one of them holds that even by onus gamor, he's chayv to pay, and the other one says, no, Ones regular, he's chayv to pay. Ones gamur, he's pater. But leaving aside that case of ones gamur, the simple understanding is the adam is morally olam. If he's awake, if he's even sleeping, he's always chayv to pay. So what do you teach me here that he has to pay even in a case if it's broken? Of course he has to pay in such a case. So Gemara leaves off as a kasha that we have no good way to reinterpret this mission here. And it sounds like from this that the in case of Ein Lo Damim, he's only potter if he breaks it, but if it's still intact, if it's natal, he seemingly would be chayiv to return the object. That's what the Gemara seems to say right now. So then the Gemara asks another question, Meisiv Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, Hagonev Kis B'Shabbos Chayiv. Person who steals a wallet or purse on Shabbos, he's chayiv to pay. Sharei Nischayiv B'Gneva Kodem Shayava Lidei Isser Shabbos. What happens is I go to your property, I pick up your wallet. So I'm still inside your house. I'm chayiv and gneva. I was kone kinyane gneva, but there's no iser shabbos. So I walk outside and I carry. So that comes at separate points. So we don't say kimle b'dirabi minay if they happen at two different times. So I'm chayiv both a gneva and then I'm chayiv skila for walking outside on Shabbos without there being an eruv.
So if he's outside the house and he pulls it from
there. Exactly. If you're outside the house, haya megarir v'yotzei. Let's say I'm dragging it. So I'm not kone b'hagba. I'm just dragging it from your house. And then what happens? I go outside. Then I'm pater. Why am I pater? Sherei iser gneva v'iser skila ban ke'echad. Because when I go outside and carry it, that's iser hotza. And that's also, I'm a kone gneva, because when I leave from one rishus to the next rishus, that's kinyan b'shinoi mimakom, I'm changing position. So that's another kinyan. But those happen in the same moment. So since I'm chayiv on Shabbos, kimle b'the rabbi minay, I'm pater from the gneva. So that's the din. It would be muksa as well, but I guess that would be very secondary in this case, yeah. Because it's money, right. So what's the question here? So the Gemara says here that even though it's still intact, still we say I'm pater from paying back. It's natal. Okay, we're trying to prove in the case of a person stealing, if it's still natal, if it's a case of kimle v'di rabbi minei, in a case where the guy's chai misa, does he have to return the object when it's still intact? So here the Gemara says he's pater from paying for the kiss. If he stole the Geneva and Shabbos came at the same time, he doesn't need to return the kiss. But why not? It's still intact. The Gemara says, no, this is a case of Hilchasa de Shadinu Benara. He threw it into the river. If the kiss is still available, he has to return the wallet, no question about it. But if he threw it into the river, the case that we threw into the river, it's no longer available, that's when we say he's pater from Tashlumen. So the Gemara says, in the end of the day, Rava, Ignevele Dichre B'machterasa. So Rava actually, one guy tunneled underneath his house and stole his goats. And Adrinu Nele, so the Ghana felt bad, and he decided to return the goats to him. Below Kablinu, Rava refused to accept it back from him, because Amar Holva nothing me puma de Rav. Since Rav said that you're pater from paying, even if not all, even if it's still intact, he says that the Ghana doesn't have to pay since you bom machteris is chai misa. So he's pater from tashlumim, even if it's only not all. So Rava didn't want to accept it. He wanted to hold that you're pater, it's all yours, you get to keep my goats. Okay.
It's a little strange, we still have concept of that there's still a chiyuv, right?
So look what Tosis says in the last Tosis on the page here. Lo kablinu hol v'nafing mipumah derab tema hamachay latati de shemayim. Doesn't he have to try to fulfill his chiyuv midei shemayim? Even though midine der adam he's a chayiv. Quotes the Gemara in Bava Metzia, gavi achosim par v'dashba v'esin asatara afilu ba alimo v'yeshlomar dikan lahaya rotzin lahachsi elam kein yischayiv b'dine adam. Must be a case where he only wanted to return if I'm chayiv midei adam. The guy didn't want to be involved with only latzuzi de adam. So that was the case. But if he wanted to be latzuzi de shemaim, Rava then would have accepted it. It's strange okimta, but it seemed like he had no other choice here. Okay. It could be that you could also suggest that maybe he is mochel b'davar. If Rava says I'm mochel, you could keep it. So that would also be sufficient of him fulfilling his latzuzi de shemaim.
Miyayish also.
Well, miyayish wouldn't work here because this he stole before he miyayish. Meaning the Yish only came after the fact. When he stole Yish, Kone Yish only works if the Yish was first, and then you're a Kone. But maybe the point is, if Rava was Mocha B'davar, a Mocha, Ki'ilu, you gave it to me, maybe that'd be another way around it. Okay, fine. The Gemara now quotes a Braisa Tani Rabbanan, Ein Lo Damim, the Pasuk says, if he has no blood, Im Zarcha Shem HaShalav. The Pasuk says, if he has no blood, if the sun rises, so the Gemara asks, the sun only rises for this bav machteres. It's a very strange pasuk. Ella im baru lucha hadavar kishemesh. If it's so clear to you like the sun, she'ein lo shalom, that he has no shalom lucha, that he's not coming peacefully into your house. Unclear how it could ever be peacefully, but if he's not coming peacefully, hargeo, you should kill him. If he's coming after you, you should kill him first. Vimlav, if it's not so clear to you, you're not sure, al targenu. If it's only a safek, so then you shouldn't kill him, play it safe. Tani idach, another brayser says, im zarcha shemesh alav damim lo, if the sun sets from the pasuk says damim lo. Right, the pasuk says the two things. It says, umeis ein lo damim, then it says, im zarcha shemesh alav damim lo. So first it says ein lo damim, and then it says damim lo. So the Gemara makes a different diuk here. V'chi ha-shemesh alav bilvad zarcha, does the sun rise only for him? If it's so clear that he has shalom with you, he's not coming after you, don't touch him. If it's not clear, meaning if it's only a safek, so then you should kill him. So you have a stira, kasha stama stama. The case of a safek, do you kill him or you do not kill him? The first case said safek, don't kill him. Second brisa says safek, you should kill him. So the Gemara says lo kasha, there is no stira between these two brisas. Kan ba'av al ben, kan b'ben al av. It depends if the father's coming after the son or the son coming after the father. So what does that mean? Rashi says on top here, av habala ben b'machteres. The father tunnels into his son's house. Misafek al yargei b'no. Midin safek, you shouldn't kill him because it's clear. Devadai rachmei av al b'no. Certainly the father's going to have rachmanis on his son. Vafilhu matzim amono. Even if the son stands up to protect this property, lo yargei, the father won't kill. Until you know the father is going to vada kill you, if it's only a safek, you assume the father is not coming after you. Any other case, like a son after father, or any other type of relationship, so then a case of safek, a son doesn't have rachmanis for his father. So as we say, midin safek, you are allowed to kill. The father can kill if the son is tunneling underneath his house, midin safek, unless you know for sure that he's not going to come after to kill you. That's the difference. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rav, kol da'asi alai b'machtarasa, kalir nalei. Rav said, anyone who comes into my house, tunnels underneath, I'm going to kill him. Lebar mi Rav Chanina bar Shila. Except for Rav Chanina bar Shila. My time, what was so special about Rav Chanina? Ilema mishum de tzadik, if you think because he's a tzadik, ha'kasi b'machtarasa. What kind of tzadik tunnels underneath my house? Ella mishum de kimle b'gavei, de merachim alai kirachim av al haben. Because I know he loves me like he loves a son. He might not be a great tzaddik, he might tunnel underneath my house, but I know he has rachmanis. Rachmanis and tzidkas isn't the same thing. So he's not a tzaddik, he's not makbid on averos, but in terms of sensitivity to people, he's very sensitive, so him I know he'll never kill me. Everyone else who tries tunneling underneath my house, in fact, I would kill him. Okay. The Gemara says, Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, or Tanan Rabbanan rather, the Braisa tells us, Damim lo, the Pasuk says Damim lo. What's Damim? What does it mean multiple Damim? We only have Dam, we have blood, we don't have many bloods. So Gemara says, teaching on Bein Bechol, Bein B'Shabbos, Ein lo, Bein B'Shabbos. If a guy comes, my father comes into my house, whether it's in a Shabbos or whether it's in a weekday, he has Damim, I'm never allowed to kill him. Ein lo Damim, if it's a person who has no blood, then I'm allowed to kill him. What's Damim? Bein Bechol, Bein B'Shabbos. So whether he comes during the week or whether he even tunnels in my house on Shabbos, I have the right to kill him. So Bishma, I understand the case. Ein lo damim bein b'chol b'me Shabbos. It's rechzak da dechamina. I understand if he has no blood, then I'm allowed to kill him. The chiddush here is havamina. I would have thought me did have a haruge bezdin de b'Shabbos lo katlina k'mashman de katlina. I would have thought you can't kill him on Shabbos, just like you cannot implement Mises Bezdin on Shabbos. Rashi quotes a pasuk, Lo Sivaru Eish Bechol Moshe Seichem. You cannot give punishment. There's no capital punishment on Shabbos. So here too as well, you would think maybe you shouldn't be able to kill him on Shabbos. Kamashman, you are allowed to kill him on Shabbos. So this is a very, very important line here. It sounds like in the Havamina that Bab Machteres is some form of a Mises Bezdin. I've mentioned this many times in the past, that there seems to be examples of Mises Bezdin that take place outside of Bezdin. That when you have the right to defend yourself, that's fulfilling a Mises Bezdin by killing him. So we'll see in a second, there's some level of Hasra that takes place here as well. So it sounds like in the Havamina, you shouldn't kill him because you can't give him Mises Bezdin on Shabbos. What's the Kamash Malan? Kamash Malan is that it's not Mises Bezdin, it's self-defense. That's
Nefesh.
Yeah, but it's Pashas is the Pikuach Nefesh. The Gemara Numa uses Bab Machtaris as a case of a source of Pikuach Nefesh. The question when we say it's Pikuach Nefesh, in the end of the day, does that mean it's no longer Mises Bezdin? Or is it Pikuach Nefesh plus it's a Mises Bezdin as well? Maybe both of them are really two dinim that are taking place here. So that's a discussion. So then the Gemara says, I understand that chiddush. Ain lo damim, you could kill him, bein b'chol, bein b'shamas. El damim lo, if he has blood, that you can kill him, that means, bein b'chol, bein b'shamas, So hasha b'cholo kalinam, if you can't kill him during the weekday, so b'shabbos mibayim, of course you can't kill him on Shabbos. What's the chiddush? And even on Shabbos you shouldn't kill him. Of course you can't. You can't even kill him during the week. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes lo nitzach ela lefakeach alav hazakal. It's only talking about, let's say he's tunneling underneath and the whole tunnel collapses on him, so you're allowed to take him out, so the lach is allowed to try to protect him. If we know a yid is underneath rubble, it happened last week, Rahman al-Islam, in the earthquake in Mexico, the Rosh Hashanah, they found the yid that was underneath it. On Le Rosh Hashanah, they found a yid who got killed underneath a rubble of a building. So you're allowed to look for him if you think he's possibly alive. So the guy is tunneling underneath my house, and everything collapses. Am I allowed to save him? The lach is you're allowed to save him because damim lo. He's a guy. He's your father who's not coming to kill you, and you have every right, and you should. There's a chiv to save him even on Shabbos. That's the chiddush. The Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan. The Braisa tells us now that hukah. The pasuk says hukah. When it comes to bab machteres, it says where's the line that I want? Yeah, im b'machteres yimotze haganav v'huka v'meis ein lo damim. And you hit him and he dies, you're not responsible. So what do we learn from the word v'huka? B'chol adam, anyone, he can be killed, it's passive. He can be killed by anyone. Anyone's allowed to kill him. If I see someone tunneling into your house, I could protect you and kill him. U'meis, the pasuk says, b'chol misa sh'ata yachol amiso. Kill him any way you could get him, kill him. Bishmai, understand v'huka b'chol adam, it's rech sakadaych lamina ba'al bayit hudekim lei, then adam amina asmal mamono. Aval acher lo, kamashmal de rodefu, v'afil acher nami. So I understand the chiddush v'huka. You might think that only the ba'al bayit, who's defending his property and himself, only he has the right to kill the bab machteres. But some other guy, a neighbor, to come in and chase after the bab machteres, what right does he have to kill the guy? So we learn from here that bab machteres has a din of a rodef. And when there's a rodef, a person chasing after someone else, everyone is allowed to kill the rodef. That's the chiddush of a hukah. Anyone could kill the bab machteres, he's a rodef. So what's the need to teach me that special din? You could kill the bab machteres any way you can. So what's the need? So you learn Merotech Nafka, learn this from Rotech. And by the way, this discussion here gets along the point of why would you limit what type of way to kill him? It must be that there's some level of a Bisis Bezdin. Right, that's the idea here. Otherwise, if it's just a self-defense, Bikuach Nefesh, kill him any way you can. So there seems to be another indication that there's some level of Mises Bezdin by the Bab Machteres. So the Gemara asks, what do you need a drush of mace? Learn it out from Rotech. The Tanya, Mos Yumas Hamaka Roteach, that you kill the Roteach. Ain li ela b'misa amurbo. I only know that misa that's mentioned, which is Saif. You kill him with Saif. Uminayin sh'im iyata yachal amisa b'misa aksuva bo. How do I know if you can't kill him with Saif, sh'ata yirasha la amisa b'chol misa sh'ata yachal amisa? You should kill the Roteach any way you're able to. Just get him dead. Tamalomer, Mos Yumas mikomakum. Kill him any way you can. So that's a drush from Rotzeach. So just like Rotzeach, you can kill him any way you can, so to Bab Machteres, you should be able to kill him in any way you possibly get your hands on him. So Gemara says, Shiny Hasam, Damar Kra, Mosimas. Oh, it's a special Gzeres of Kasav. It says Mosimas by Rotzeach. So what's the limit to learn it to Bab Machteres? Gemara says, V'nigmar Minei. So why not? Use if Rotzeach is a model for kill him b'chol misa shata yachol amiso, so learn as a binyan av, any other misa, kill him in any way you can. Mar says, you can't learn from roteach, mishum dehavi roteach v'gol hadam, shnei ksuv mabam kechan. It says the same drash by gol dam, when the guy is chasing after the murderer of his relative, that you could kill him any way you could kill him. V'chol shnei ksuv mabam kechan e'im malamdim. We have two sources now, Rotzeach and Goldam, that you could they can be killed. They could kill any way you possibly could kill them. So we have a concept, if it only mentions by two places, it cannot serve as a bin and av to the rest of the Torah. So how do you know then that you could kill Bab Machteres b'chol misa shata yachol amiso? That's based on the pasuk mace, the extra mace, tell me, kill him any way you could get him killed. So there's a discussion that we've shown him when it comes to Bab Machteres, is this lechatchila? You could kill him anyway, or maybe first try to kill him with saif. He's trying to kill you. First, try to kill him with a sword. You can't get him with a sword, and then try to get him with any other way you could kill him. That also sounds like the same discussion. If there's a hierarchy, sounds like the din of Bab Machteres is the din of Mises Bezdin. First, go for the saif. If not, go for the next best. But if you assume that no, just kill him any way you can, then that would sound like there is no din of Mises Bezdin. It's simply a pikuach nefesh for the Baal HaBayis. Fine. The Gemara now quotes another braisa, Tanu Rabbanan. mach teres, if the guy tunnels in my house, ain't liela mach teres, I only know if he goes through a tunnel. Let's say he goes gago, chatzero, karfifo, he's going on my roof, he's going through my chatzero, he's coming into my house some other way. Minayin, how do I know the same din applies? Tamalomar, yimatze aganav mikomakum. No matter where you find the ganav, you have this din of self-defense. Imkein ma tamalomar machtaris. So why did the pasuk choose one example? Bipnei shiro ganav mitzuim machtaris, because that's just the most likely scenario. He's trying to tunnel underneath your house, but any other scenario would be a din of bav machtaris when he comes into your house. Tani idach, the other baisa says machteres ein li ela machteres gago chaserah karfifa min ayin tamalomer yimatzei ganav mikol makom imkei ma tamalomer machteres machterasa zu hi hasarasa. Tell me that when the guy comes to the machteraso, that he's already warned. The guy comes on my rooftop, I cannot kill him until I give him a warning first. I need to give him asra first, otherwise I can't kill him. But the guy comes to the machteraso, that's considered his hasara. He doesn't need a warning, I'm allowed to kill him. So this is another raya that there's, what's the need for asra? If I'm self-defense, pikuach nefesh, I need to warn the guy first? So from the fact that the Gemara entertains an issue here of hasra, tells me that no, you need to give asra before you could implement a din of Mises Bezdin. So these two brayas are arguing with each other. Fine. The Gemara now says, Amar Rav Huna Katan Harodev Aniten Latzila Benafsho. A Katan, Rashi says, a Katan who's chasing after another Katan, so you're allowed to kill the Katan Harodev. Kesavar Rodev Einat Tzar Chasra Lo Shna Gadol Lo Shna Katan. So it sounds like a Rodev, you don't have to warn him. Because a Katan is La Bar Kibul Hasra. A Katan can't accept Hasra, he doesn't have Das, you can't warn him. The warning means nothing to a Katan. So how could you kill a Katan? Must be, when it comes to Rodef, you don't have to give a warning. You just kill them to defend the Nirdaf. So the Gemara asks the question, Eisive, Rav Chista the Rav Huna, Yatza Rosho, Ein Nogin Bo, Fish Ein Doch Nefesh, Mipnei Nefesh. If a woman is giving birth, and now she's dying, and the child puts its head out, so now once the Rosho is Yatza, it's considered born, and it's considered a full life, so you can't kill the Katan to save the mother anymore. If it's before it's born, so then you're allowed to if the mother's in danger. So it's very important. So this is the sugya for abortion. So Vamai, why do we say don't kill the katan? Rodev, who isn't the katan a rodev? I mean, he's killing his mother. Isn't that case of a rodev? So you should be able to kill. Gemara says no. Shiny hasam the mishamaya karadfile. The katan's not chasing after the mother. It's a kadosh baruch who's creating such a situation like this. That's not a case of a rodev. In general, you can kill a katan rodev, but this is not a case of a rodev. This is a whole other situation. So the Gemara says, name a Messiah, maybe we could bring a proof from the following statement. Rodev, shaya rodev acher chaver, lo hargo. One guy is chasing another guy, there's a rodev, and you could kill the rodev. Amra omalo, you say to the rodev, rei she yisrahu, you can kill you're chasing after a yid. And ben brisu, v'tor amra shofech dam ha'adam, badam damo yishafech. You quote the pasuk, there's an isser ritzicha. So Amr Torah, Hatzel Damo Shozeh B'Damo Shozeh. You're allowed to save the Nirdaf from the Rodef. And here, it never says, for Asra to be effective, the guy has to say, Almanaskein, I'm doing it anyways. I hear your Asra, I'm going to kill him anyways. This Brisa doesn't say that the Rodef accepts Asra. You warn him, but he ignores you. So we see you're allowed to kill him, even without there being a Asra. Gemara says no. Hahi Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehudi. The reason why you don't need a acceptance of Asra in this Right, so it's because this is the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Who's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda? We had him earlier in the first parak of the Masechta. Titania, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Chaver, Ein Tzarech Asra. A Talmud Chacham doesn't need Asra. You don't need to warn him that Chil Shabbos is Asra. He knows it's Shabbos. Levi Shalom, Nitna Hasra, El Hafkin, Bein Shogeg, Lemezim. So you don't have to have him accept it. Once there's a warning, so then he doesn't have to mekabel it, then he's already considered, warned. Right. So just look at Rashi. Ahu Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. It's around six lines up. The only reason why you need Hasra in general is just so Bezdin can know whether he did it on purpose or not. He doesn't need Hasra because he knows what he's doing is wrong. But Am Haaretz, he does need to be warned that he's doing something wrong because he may not know it's Asr to, let's say, to water the grass. So he can't claim I was accidental. About Kabbalah Hasra, to accept the hasra, to have it acknowledged from the recipient of the hasra, afilu ba ma'aretz lo bai. He doesn't need to acknowledge it. The moment you tell him, you know he heard it. He doesn't have to say anything. The moment he hears it, he's already considered mazid and he's chayiv. So that's the shita of Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda. But in general, but maybe in Echanami, a rodif does require a hasra. So there is no raya yet. The Huna holds that a rodif doesn't need a hasra. So the Gemara says Tashma brings
so
another.
We're talking about an Amma Arts in this case over here. We bring Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda, who says his svar by chaver, but then Rashi says, but and therefore by Amma Arts you do need hasra, but you don't need him to accept it.
Exactly.
And there are cases of Amma Arts.
Yeah, Amma, or it could even be a chaver, and you wanted to give him a warning anyways, even though he didn't need the warning. But the real point is that a warning for Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda doesn't require an acknowledgement from the violator; just needs to be stated by the one, the masra. So the Gemara tries to bring another raya for the concept that a rodev doesn't require a hasra. Tashma, rodev shaya rodev acher chaveiro lohargo, a guy chasing him to kill. Amar lo, you tell the rodev, hey, sheyisol, who is a yid, ben brisu. Vator amar, shofech dam ha'adam, ba'adam dam ha'yishafeich, you can't kill a person. Im amar, if the rodev says, yodeani, I know this is the case. Shu, kain pater. If he says, I know it, he's pater. If he says, Amanas Kainaniosa, I'm doing this despite, in spite of that fact, I'm still doing it, I'm chayiv. So we see you have to accept it. This clear statement here, only if you accept your Amanas Kain, if you accept Esra, you're chayiv. So this goes against Rav Huna. Clearly you do require a Esra and a Kabbalah of the Esra. Mara says, no, Lo Tzicha, this is not a Raya. Dekai betray Ivre Denara Delamatzi Atzule. So this is a case where the guy screaming at the road, if I can't, I'm on the other side of the river. I'm Jersey and you're in New York, the other side of Hudson River. There's no way I can save you. I can't reach you with my gun. So I can't save the guy. So what's the difference here? So Rashi says three lines up, Deatsule Lomatsi, Vahai Pater Vahai Vdekamar, Amises Bezdin Kai, Ulacha Shargo Lenirda. Right now I can't save the guy. So me warning him before I kill him, there's no war, I'm not killing him. So I'm only giving hasra, so when Bezin later on could accept the hasra and kill him. But it's not a warning before I kill him. Ain't a chanami, if I was next to him, I could kill him without there being hasra. But I want to give hasra so I could take him to Bezin later after he kills the guy. So the Gemara says, Ma'ika de bayi asur le beidina. He wants to bring in the Bezdin, and Bedina by Asra. A Bezdin requires Asra. If I were to kill him, if I was next to him, I wouldn't need Asra, like Rav Huna holds. But this is a case where I want to take him to Bezdin because I can't kill him. So then the Gemara finishes off saying, Ibai Zema, Armelacha Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Ana damar katana de machteres, damar machterasa zu hi asrasa. I hold that the machteris is a case that itself is asra. What's his answer here? So Rashi says, last line, Ziha azuhi asra so alma mishum de machazik and le rodev lo bai hasra. So he holds that, no, I agree that you do require a hasra, but the machtara serves as a hasra for him. And therefore he says the same thing by a rodev. A rodev has the same din, that he's already considered forewarned before doing this. There's some level of hasra. So again, this requires a lot of explanation here. There's a big, big chiddush here. But in the end of the day, this is very important in general, that in situations where you require hasra, we sometimes have examples where there already is hasra without there being a formal hasra. Normally you have to have two eidim saying what you're doing is wrong, but sometimes we have that the circumstances create a certain hasra. So the case of machtarasa, zuhi hasrasa, the circumstances of a guy going in the, borrowing through the property, that itself is a hasra. So too he says, a rodev also, he doesn't need a hasra. His situation, the circumstance that he's chasing after the guy, he knows is a hasra. That itself somehow is considered a hasra already. Okay, again, this is very, very deep sugyas here. It requires learning in yeshiva for a few weeks to really appreciate everything. But this is just...